This is the Edmentum Podcast Mini, where we cover targeted topics you care about. This series is all about reflection and how our summer plans can pave the way for positive impacts in the fall. I'm your host, David Cicero. Thanks for tuning in and welcome to summer. I'm so here for summer this year, and I know you are too. Relaxing, hiking, the beach, spending time with family, spending some quality time with Netflix maybe. Well, summer can also be an opportunity for reflection, but it's still summer. And that's the reason I wanted to explore a few engaging activities that fit right into summer, but that also carry positive change into our teaching practice in the fall. This is what this new mini-series is all about. And to kick us off, I've got Jen Perry today, Edmentum's learning designer for SEL, to help us rethink what reflection is and what it can look like. Jen, when I think of reflecting on what I do as an educator, I think finding a quiet place, sitting down, deep thought, pen and paper, maybe jotting down my behaviors and goals. And I know this is useful, but it screams formality, and I'm just not about that right now. How can we effectively re-envision reflection that makes it a bit more approachable?
So, you know, one of the things, I actually went to a conference just a few weeks ago, and one of the speakers talked about reframing this idea of building our toolbox, which I think sometimes we think about doing over the summer, to expanding our toy box. And I really love that. And I love that idea as we go into the summer because, you know, this idea of a toy box gives you a sense and a feeling of play, right? Rather than thinking we're fixing something and maybe fixing something that's not even broken, right? It's just about our lens or our experience. A toy box is really about expanding. It's about creativity, being experimental, and having fun. So, you know, one of the ways I like to approach growth all the time is by having fun and sort of giving myself the grace of understanding that I'm not broken. I'm just trying to learn new things. And one of the best ways to learn is to play.
Absolutely. And I that's what we do over the summer anyway. In fact, just yesterday, I went kayaking for the first time ever, right? And that was some experimenting. In fact, when I got there, I thought it was a guided tour. And I found out very quickly that it was not. The guy just said, no, I just give you the kayak and you go kayak down the Grand River. And I thought, okay, well, I've got a decision to make. And I went for it. And it was an amazing experience. Now, this idea of I feel like that fits right into this play, fun, and I did learn some valuable things in that experience. Does the toolbox or does the toy box replace the toolbox, or is it an addition to? How do they?
Yeah,
how should I see this?
I think it should replace it. Right. I think, you know, the concept of a toolbox is right having different things that you can pull from to navigate your world and engage with people. Why can't that be with toys? I mean, why can't we think about it as a fun experience, right? That we do want to have different toys. Like you want to have different toys if you're engaging different age kids, just like you want to have different resources as you navigate the world. And I love that kayaking experience. For my 50th birthday a few years ago, I bought myself a kayak. And I go to the same place and you think, oh, that must be boring. But I go to the same place at different seasons. And I really work to look at what has changed around me, to really take in my environment. And it has given me patience and some other skills that I need in my larger life. And it's fun. It's great space. I love it.
It absolutely is. And in fact, when I got done on the car ride home, I was thinking, like, do I want to do this again? You know, what is my purpose sort of for doing this? Because it was a pretty long journey. And I thought, is it for exercise or would I rather just like own a kayak and just kind of get out on the water and enjoy and kind of relax? And so really just thinking about what I want to get out of it.
Yeah.
As well. So even something as simple as that can turn into something as simple as kayaking can turn into just a reevaluation of why you're doing something, what you hope to get out of it, you know, considering your abilities, your time and everything. And so what I didn't expect to turn into like a reflection activity about my goals for
myself, exactly.
It turned into that really, you know.
That is exactly right. That it is this concept of moving from, like, you're not trying to fix something that's broken. You're trying to expand your, like, possibilities, right?
So when I'm thinking about, now I didn't go kayaking to really think about how I wanted to change my behavior as it relates to education. And I think that's the point. Mm-hmm. I just wanted it for me, and it ended up teaching me something about myself and giving me skills I'll carry on. But if I am thinking sort of as an educator for a moment, what would you say might be three core things that might, you know, that maybe should be in every educator's toolbox?
Okay. Well, I guess I would say the three things that I would put in a toolbox or a toy box is presence, compassion, and perspective. Those would be my three things I think I would add.
Okay. And the first one really speaks to me in terms of presence. And I've heard variations of this throughout my time running this podcast. Mm-hmm. And one example that comes to mind in terms of presence is being present in the classroom. And kind of, we sometimes say, you need to show up. You know, and I remember when I was teaching high school math, you know, I have a plan. And I knew exactly what I wanted to say, exactly what I wanted to do. I was going to go from the board to discussion to this to that. And if something kind of went sour a little bit, or my plan kind of got tipped over, oftentimes I had a hard time kind of dealing with that. But when you're present in the moment, you're authentic, you kind of see that as a learning opportunity. You know, that really shows students kind of who you are, you know, in the classroom, just to kind of take things as they come, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, do you have some ways that we can build some of these core qualities, presence, compassion, and perspective this summer that may be a little out of the box?
Yeah, well, I have a couple of thoughts on those. And then I do have some out of the box ideas. When I think about presence, I think about presence to myself, to others, and to the moment. And like you said, how can I be my authentic self? And I thought of some questions like, can I notice when I am task-oriented rather than person-centered, right? So sometimes when we get busy, we rely on our competencies and we want to get our tasks done, whether that's the curriculum in front of us or, you know, we have only a certain amount of time. And occasionally in those moments, we forget that we have people in front of us who have stories and adversities and things going on. And so one of the things I like to think about as I practice presence is who's in front of me and what's their story? Because often if I attend to that, then my task goes more smoothly, right? I can adjust to make sure that gets done. And then the next question is like, what distracts me from the person in front of me? Do I have that agenda narrative in my head? And so one of the ways to practice that, I think, is through mindfulness skills, maybe doing something over the summer that you enjoy, like painting, or any task really that requires using your senses, you know, so sight, hearing, touch, taste, all of those things. Because when you are thinking about your senses, you have to be in the moment. And so things like the kayaking we talked about, or if you have children, like a nature walk where you're looking intentionally for things like maybe five birds or four hidden flowers, three types of leaves, right? So you're really taking in that environment around you and you can work on that patience and presence. So that's my thought for that one.
Okay. How about cooking? Maybe trying new recipes with new ingredients.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I thought of when you said, right?
Yeah. So, but thinking about like, if you're doing that, and particularly if you're doing that with children, seeing it as play, like the way that we change, and often I do my mindfulness practice when I'm cooking, like I pay attention to the sound of what I'm cutting or the texture or whatever. But sometimes in the kitchen with children, we're worried about the mess that it's going to make, right? So that's the difference between task-oriented and person-centered. You know,
I think we've probably, I mean, I've been there, right?
Yeah, sure. We all
have. I want them to make the salad, but I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I'm gonna have to clean this up afterwards. Of course.
Okay. Yeah. That's like when we have little kids and they want to dishwash with us and we're all hesitant to put that big pan of water on the floor and let them wash dishes next to us because we don't want to clean up the mess afterwards.
Right. Exactly. Okay. And so that great ideas for presents. I might actually do that. I love cooking, and I've got some recipes I want to get to. What about the
compassion? Oh yeah, dude. Yeah.
What about the compassion piece?
So I think compassion, you know, it almost sounds like the easier one. And as I was thinking about it, it's one of the harder ones, right? Like we think we are compassionate people. We care about people around us. But that same thing, the tasks in front of us, the list that we have, the busyness can get in the way. And so I think about it through the lens of empathy, right? And that it can come through direct interaction with someone's story. Sort of understanding all the people, that all people want to be happy and avoid suffering. Like that is one of my daily meditations, is to just think about who am I going to come in contact today? And I want to remind myself that that person wants to be happy and avoid suffering. And we're all trying to do our best. So I like to practice positive intent for compassion. Just thinking about, okay, if this person meant well, what would that mean for how I interact and behave? And then, also practicing self-compassion, like notice when you're hard on yourself and ask yourself, what would I tell someone else that I love in this situation? You know, so you could sort of come at compassion in two different ways. And then again, I think for all of these, learning about people's stories, and you talked about Netflix, right? And some things like that. We like to do that. There's some really cool ways. Like we've watched Kiss the Ground. We watched Concrete Cowboy. And then there's a show called Atypical. And they all give you sort of perspective and an insight into a different story than your own in some ways, and help build compassion.
Yeah, those are great recommendations. But you know, I have to be honest, the first thing I thought of was, did the Tiger King mean well? Was he you know, I mean, because there's that, you know, that show, I mean, there's some characters in that show, and you could definitely, you know, just wonder, okay, who's, you know, who's on the right side of this thing? Did they mean well, even though it may have been a bit misguided?
Well, you can ask, you know, do they want to be happy and avoid suffering?
Oh, I'm
probably.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm
right?
Sure. I'm sure. Absolutely. Okay. And then the final one I think you mentioned was perspective.
Yeah. Perspective, right? And this one I think can be really fun for the summer. You know, when I think of perspective, I think about concepts of equity. I go back to this idea of stories and meeting people and listening, taking in the world through someone else's eyes. And so you could do something like ask a young child what they see, sort of go through an hour of, tell me what you're noticing. Have kids envision, what does an ant see, right? So if I'm an ant and I'm on the ground, what am I noticing? What does it look like? So that really can be a fun way to shift perspective. I guess I would say don't watch the news or social media for perspective. Like it's summer, meet someone or read something by someone who challenges you. Now, I know like reading over the summer, we often talk about things like beach reads. We want that light, fun, you know, give us a break read. And so one great summer read that I'm actually rereading is called Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmer. Yeah. And the reason I think it's a summer read is it's really a meditation on different aspects of nature and relationships. And you can almost just read like one chapter at a time. And it really helps me think about it. The first one was about strawberry season and how we give gifts and what makes a gift. And I thought, and it's sort of a merging of her knowledge in botany and biology and native wisdom. And it's just really, really cool. So I really like that. Also, you could read YA novels. Like young adult novels are a lot of fun. There's books out there like Dig, which is actually written by A.S. King, and it's a perspective on white supremacy, but through the eyes of white families and youth experience and the damage that it can do to everybody, right? And I really like the idea of reading young adult novels in some ways and thinking about those stories, particularly as an educator.
Yeah, I actually, right now, I'm reading Around the World in 80 Days. And so when you started explaining perspective, I thought of that, and now I'm kind of realizing that much of it is about perspective, and you know, through that lens, you can really start to analyze what perspective makes people do, because the figures in this story all have a different perspective of what's going on.
Yes,
and it's causing them to make, you know, humongous decisions about their life, about their lives and other people's lives as well. And if anything, right, it's not necessarily a book to read for perspective, for me to sort of gain perspective about something that's happening currently, but maybe just as a kind of mental workshop to think, yep, wow, you know, how important is perspective, you know?
That's a really great exercise. In fact, if you don't want to read and you want to listen to a podcast, I really like Harry Potter, The Sacred Text. And it's a podcast that every episode is a chapter of the book, and they look at it through a different lens. So they look at it from empathy and the Dursleys, which, you know, the Dursleys are not the most loved character in the book. They look at friendship and just different themes from different perspectives and talk about that. And they also connect it to current events. So that could be a really fun way, you know, if you're doing a walk or just whatever, to listen to a podcast that's fun.
Yeah, fantastic. A lot of great advice this morning, Jen. I'm going to get back out and go kayaking. I'm going to try my new chicken marsala recipe.
Yeah.
And I might check out that podcast too. So I really appreciate your time this morning. Lots of fun stuff. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Edmentum Podcast. If you like what you hear, you can support our show by subscribing and leaving a review. If you're looking for more Edmentum resources, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn under the handle @Edmentum. Stay tuned for more episodes, and until then, stay well.